Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
This morning, I want to share with you about great principles that make you a peculiar person. That make you a peculiar person. Charlotte, you are looking outside. Look at me. Great principles. And listen carefully. There's a paradox. A paradox is when something, the opposite seems true. The opposite seems true. Amen? Check your neighbor. Are you writing notes? Or you are just sitting down here with 10 fingers? Because in this church, we write notes. Amen. We are serious about going forward in life. We are not in class just marking register. We are serious. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a loud amen. Now listen to this. There's a paradox here, because Jesus or God has saved us to make us different. He's changing us. Amen. Amen. That is his aim and his plan, to change us. But amazingly, there are some people who do not want to be changed. They want to stay the same. It's an amazing reality that is playing out before us, that Jesus has come to change us. Amen. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. It says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant," this is the Passover, which is what is saving us, "and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure." Say peculiar treasure. Peculiar means special, not a normal. How many have a special shirt that is at the bottom of your portmanteau, which you release only Christmas and wedding and special occasions? How many have a dress like that? Yeah. How many have, those are special dresses. But at the bottom of those ones are the last special dress. That one for wedding. With a matching underwear. Oh, it's not true. Even on those days, you have underwear you have put down for that dress. Because it's a special occasion. It's a special, Bible calls it a peculiar treasure. And God says, we will be to him a peculiar treasure above all people. Amen. Is it there? Yes. Above all. When I say above all people, it means not like all people. Different from all people. Amen. That's the special treasure that he's trying to make you. You will say this is Old Testament. Some of you are lawyers in church. When I'm preaching, you're also preaching, counter-preach in your head. No problem. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This one, even the children, if I call the children, they will come and sing it for us. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priest." All this is a message, but I'm not doing it for today. a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Tell somebody you are special. He didn't say it well. You are special. You are peculiar. Peculiar. No, special. You see, when I say special, you will understand it in a way. Peculiar is not special. It's odd. Peculiar means you are odd. You are strange. You are different. Amen. It means you are not like other people. That's why when you go back to Exodus 19, it says, above all nations, all people, you are not like all people. I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
You are not like others like you. You are not like them. Amen. Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So let me give you a third witness. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation. And that is why we are here this morning, because either we are saved or we are looking for salvation. And that grace that brings that salvation has appeared to all men. Amen. Including you. Jump to verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. Purify means remove all the impurities. Purify unto himself. A what? I cannot hear you. A what? A peculiar people. Zealous. Zealous. Amen. I didn't hear you shout zealous of good works. This morning, I want us to understand that if you are born again, because salvation has appeared, and that salvation is teaching us that you are a peculiar people. Amen. You know, you can be in church and not born again. Oh yeah. Oh yes. You can be in church. I mean, ask your neighbor here, what's your sin? Ask your neighbor here, what is your sin? Everybody has sin. You mind me again. It's okay. Everybody has a sin. Amen. But the Lord is trying. He is drawing us unto himself. I want you to pay attention. Today I'm preaching for a very short time, but pay attention, because it's a very important message that he is trying to turn you into a peculiar person. He's changing you from a normal person to a peculiar person, a special kind of person, a strange kind of person. In the dictionary, it says you are different from what we expect. So when we meet a normal 20-year-old girl or 20-year-old boy, we expect certain things. When we meet a normal KNUSD student, we expect certain things. Somebody who is probably going to club once in a while, going around, has sex some one or two times. That's what students are. Am I not saying anything well? That's how students are. Yeah, we are. And if you are wise, that's why some fathers have caught their children and they give them depo-vera to pregnancy. They won't say don't have sex. They will say have sex but don't get pregnant. Why? Because they will have their sex. When I say stop, they won't stop. They won't stop. Stop, don't do it. They will do it. They will pass back door. Girls can jump wall. Oh, you have not heard some. Some are here. No comments. No comments. But they are trying to stop. They won't stop. So, okay, let's go around. And then don't become pregnant and rather give them injections and contraceptives to stop it. That is the normal. She went to the antenatal, and she was sitting on the bench outside. And then she said, as she was 35 or 30 something, child number 3 or child number something, 35, 37, 35. As she was sitting on the bench, she said that I'm an old woman. On the left, 13-year-old. On the right, 17-year-old. I said, hey, what am I doing here? On the left, 13. On the right, 17. And she's 37, 20 years older than your classmates. That is the world we live in. Amen. That's the world we live in. And that is why it's even unfortunately, I mean, prophet says this, the only virgins left are Virgin Atlantic and Virgin Nigeria. That's the only virgins left. You know, I used to be asking girls, so are you a virgin? I used to ask, are you a virgin? I'll stop asking. My heart, you understand? My heart, I'll stop asking. I always smile and I'll be happy with you. And I'll tell you, okay, from today you are a virgin. That one day I can say it. From today, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. From today you are a virgin. Say, from today I'm a virgin. I said, my dear boy, what? Be careful. Be careful. What are you trying to say? I said in church. No. But listen, when you become born again, we are now expecting something different from you and not like the other ordinary people. That is why you are peculiar. You are peculiar. Amen. And you know, First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. When Paul came to the Corinthians, what did he say? He was complaining. He was grumbling, complaining. He said, why you people? I've come to a church. I've come to believers, Christians. Said, I couldn't talk to you as I would like to. What I want to say, I couldn't say it well. Why? Because you are carnal. Carnal means that there's still the world in you. You are not fully changed. And then it says, and yeah, are you not carnal and walk as men? One of the versions, you are acting like ordinary men. Walking like, brother, you should be looking at the versions like mere men. Like, I came expecting something different. And I see you like any other Ghanaian girl, Ghana girl, Ghana boy. You are behaving the same. I mean, you are just like, when I was at the nightclub, that place down there, the eating bars, the other clubs, I saw people dancing, dressing, and behaving in a certain way. Then I came to church and I see the same thing. I said, what is this? What is this? The same thing I'm seeing there, I'm seeing here. The same language I'm hearing there, I'm hearing here. When I open the phone, the same things I'm seeing here. What is it? You are just like them. You are just like them. Now become quiet. No. The same things. And he said, no, that's not what I want. God says, I am making unto myself a peculiar people who are different. Who are different. And they are supposed to be different. They are supposed to be different. You are not allowed to be normal. I didn't hear amen. You are not allowed to be the same. You are supposed to be different. Amen. Why is God making us different? Because Jesus, you know, Jesus was a man. Yeah, they called him the carpenter. They called him a carpenter. He was a carpenter, ordinary. I mean, he was walking around. He was ordinary outwardly. Because remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas came, when they sent the soldiers to come and catch him, they couldn't see the difference. They saw 13 men standing there. Which one is Jesus? We can't see that Jesus. You can't see him because all the guys are the same. Chade, grab you. Go and find Jesus. You know him. When you find him, kiss him there. We know that's the one. Because we can't tell the difference. He was ordinary. We sometimes think that he was shining. No. He was just a man. They called him the carpenter. The carpenter. Amen. So he was man just like us. But Jesus was peculiar. He was peculiar. Look at this. Mark chapter 4. Let's start from verse 35. And Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." And then they went into the ship. 37. And there was a storm at sea. Those of you who don't go to sea don't know about the sea. Kumasi, born and bred. No problem. There was a storm at sea, and the boat was in danger. But Jesus was asleep. And you know, a storm at sea, there was a storm 2 nights ago in Kumasi. Wind was blowing. Was it Friday? Friday night. A very wild storm. A tree fell down on our road. There was a storm too about 2 weeks ago. Very, very high wind blowing. I was praying, "Lord, keep my roof down." there are storms. When there's a real storm, it's fearful. And these guys were in a storm. And they said, "Hey, what trouble are we in?" So when you're in a storm, what do? You just go and find a corner or find a place to secure yourself. And they were in that storm. So that's the normal. Are you listening to me? That's the normal behavior in a storm. Go and find a corner, a place, and just hide yourself and secure yourself. Though in a boat, it was a storm and they were really crying. And then Jesus woke up and he said, "Hey, Master Jesus, Chale, we are in danger. Oh, everybody get ready." I think late last year, we lost one of our pastors in a boat sinking. Yeah, he was in a boat and then the boat began to sink. And he was able to call his wife. "The boat is sinking." So they were talking. The boat is sinking. And then the call finished because the boat sank. Yeah. Anyway. So they said, "Master, the boat is sinking." And they were all getting worried. "The boat is sinking." And they were worried. And then Jesus woke up all their talkings. Then instead of going to find a corner to perch himself, he stood up in the boat. Then he turned to face the wind. Then he said, "Hey, wherever you are coming from, peace be still." That is why there is no trouble in your life that should be a trouble. I didn't hear an amen. I mean, if Jesus is in the boat, what is your problem? What is your problem? And he just stilled the storm. And then the guys who were with him, Bible says, and they were terrified. Verse 41. They were terrified. They were afraid. And they said, "What kind of man is this? You are not an ordinary man. You are not an ordinary man." Hallelujah. That's Jesus. That's the one we are following. You are not an ordinary man. Hallelujah. Look at this one too. John 7. They sent the temple police to go and catch Jesus. And when they got there, they came back empty-handed. And the Pharisees asked them, "Why have you come back empty?" Look at verse 46. They said, "No man nobody talks like this man. No man, no. I mean, I've heard men, but this man there, nobody talks like him. That's the Jesus we are following. Amen. Amen. That's the which I've fallen. And look at, you see, this morning, I want us to understand something. That if you are truly born again, and the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit recently, and the Spirit lives in you and is active in you, you will be different. I said you will be different. You will be peculiar. You will be odd. You will not be like the other people around you. You will not be like your classmates. You will not be like them. If you are like them, then you are like what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 3:3. You are carnal. Your flesh is ruling. I told you last week about the man is a, what? What is man? Is a what? Hey, some of you are not talking well. Man is a what? And has a, and what? Charlotte, you're not performing. You're not performing this morning. And I said that something, that the spirit of the unsaved man is what? Hey, Shabaya. Yeah. The notes you are reading is, you're not reading. At least read the notes and then pretend you know. Hey. And I said that, listen, you must bring the body under control. Yeah. Look, if you are not able to bring your soul under control, body under control, you'll be like another person. Another person. Amen. And so this morning, we are learning that we are not ordinary. We are different. We are different. Amen. One of our church members, somewhere, is a church member, is a student. You know, students can do foolish things. Do you know that? They can work at night with their laptops. Do you know it's a very foolish thing to be working at night carrying your laptop? But sometimes they say, well, I'm late. I was working somewhere. They have a reason for their foolishness. Always there's a reason for what they are doing. So this guy, one night, he was walking back to his room carrying his laptop. I think it was final year. I'm not sure. But I suspect it was final year. As he was walking, he met three boys who pull a knife. And they say, bring your laptop. I mean, here you are with these guys in front of you holding knives. Bring your laptop. And he said that, hey, Lord, this laptop, Lord, in fact, I can't give it to them. And I can't fight, I can't run. What am I going to do? And then, so as, are you listening? You see, when I say that the Holy Spirit, he's a teacher, that's his prime role in your life, to speak to you. And yours is to hear him speak. That's your job, that you will hear him speak. This guy, as he stood there in front of these men, he said, oh God, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit said, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. And you say, speak in tongues. What is speak in tongues? I'm seeing knife and arm robbers. What? But he obeyed. So he just stood there and began. And the guy said, no, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm holding a knife. He said, oh, what is this? Bring the laptop. And they were going to hold it. And he just stood there. He didn't move. Shandada bikiri andada bokusa bokusaya koteya kataya koteya kataya rendada. And the guy said, look, bring the laptop. Then he didn't move. He just stood there. Shandada bikiri andada. He said his heart was beating. Praying in tongues. Shandada bakataya andada biri. And the men stood there. Ah, look at him. Then the man said, you are some way. Then they went away. They don't know what he's saying. They don't know what is happening. And the man is not running away. He's standing there saying something. Saying something. What is he saying? Maybe he's guessing that they don't know. They said, Charlie, it's okay. Keep your laptop. We are going. We are going. And they left him. Amen. That is a supernatural solution to a problem many have faced. Because I've lost two laptops in my church. To a similar, you are saying, yeah, I've lost two laptops in my church in a similar situation. One day cut, the other day cut. Amen. But you are peculiar. You are supposed to be
normal, ordinary, mere person. You are not. Tell anybody that I'm not. Oh, he said, well, I'm not. Say, I'm different. See, special is not what I want. Odd is the word. Odd, not special. What's the difference? Odd and special. What's the difference? Odd means you are strange. Special means you are set up, you are nice. But you're not nice, you are strange. You are not a normal person, you are a strange person. When your friends look at you, they say, ah, that's why they call you Oso. Yeah, because you don't behave like a normal student. You don't behave like a normal person. You are different. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Amen. That is what it is. We are a peculiar people. Hallelujah. So, this thing. This morning, I want to show you three ways how you can be that peculiar person. There are about seven, but I'm only giving you three for this morning. That is enough. Two or three witnesses is enough. I don't need to give you all the seven to convince you, John, of what is happening. I can just give you two or three. Eric, true or not true? Two or three is enough. And then you just believe that it's true. That you are not an ordinary person. You shouldn't be. You are not called to be. You are not made to be. You are a different, you are a new creation. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And if these three things can be clear and evident in your life, that peculiarness, that difference, it will be clear in your life. Hallelujah. And then you become more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I'm giving you three. Number one, you are to be peculiar. Number one, you must be led by God. You must be led by God. Romans 8:14. What does it say? For as many as are led. Oh, you should be going there immediately. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Yeah. We are to be led by God. Amen. But many people, they are not led by God, but they are led by circumstances. And they are led by their friends around them. And you end up copying what your friends do. Instead of standing out among your friends, you should be odd. When I was on campus, and I had a group of friends, they were in Queen's Hall. I was with them, we're all there together, all of us were together, and then we're about seven of us in two rooms were there. Then I became born again. Hey, I was the only one who became born again in that group because I became born again. I don't know. Yeah. And then the others were not born again. Look, put yourself pressure. Hey, but they were my friends. And I was with them and I was talking to them. We were talking. Eventually, about half became born again. But not at the beginning. I was different. When we come together and we are on the veranda, on the balcony, looking around, and people are passing, then the commentary will start. I will have to be talking differently. I'll say, don't talk like that. Don't say that. And be talking. Look, you have to be different. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 5. And the elders said to Samuel, you are old and your sons don't live right. They are not like you. They were talking. They said, what? Now give us a king, a leader to judge or to rule us like all the other nations. They said that what? We want to be like the other nations. We want to be like the other countries who have a king. Amen. And then when someone was disturbed, God said, no, relax. It's verse 7. It's not you they are rejecting, that you are, your sons are not like him. No, no, no. It is me they are rejecting. Amen. Amen. Look, I want us to start that we are going to be led by God. I cannot hear an amen. I cannot hear an amen. Who is going to lead us? Who is going to lead us? God, Holy Spirit. Look, if you ever find yourself, how do you know when God is leading you? I'll tell you how you know. When you get to a junction, then you know who is leading you. What do I mean? When most of us, come, three of you, come. Most of us, whatever path you are on, there are other people on that same path. No matter you are a student, you are a worker, you are a housewife, you are a doctor, you are a teacher, you are, what again are you? What are you? Pharmacist, you are a banker, nurse, whatever you are, there are others like you on the same road who are walking on the same road. So we are walking on the same road. Let's walk on the same road. Now, human beings, we are all looking for what? Dress, shoe, money, house, everything. We're all looking for that thing. Matthew 6:32. All these things the Gentiles seek. So we are all walking on that road. All of us are looking for the same thing. Until we come to a junction where on a normal road, you don't make a decision. You're just walking. When you come to a junction where you must make a choice, that is where we see that all the rest of you, the junction, you come, then you go. God says you pass here. All the human beings have gone one way. All the normal human beings are going to do masters, going to do America, going to go and buy a car, going to take loan to go and rent, all of that. Then you, the one, are you listening to me? The one who is following God at that junction, don't say you. Listen, stay in Apiedu. You go to this local school. You say, I want to go. No, stay here. Why? Because my calling and my ministry for you is here. It's here. It is only at a junction where we know who is leading you. Normally, we are all working together. Everybody is in the same class. When it comes to now, you're going to marry, going to give offering, do different things. Come back to your seats. That's when we see that things are different. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. But you see, come again. We have come to a junction. And then I had his master's, PhD, and car. Then go. When you step aside and they are going, you look like a fool. You look like you are odd. Because they are going to do masters, they are going to get a job, they are going to find a nice man to marry them. They are, and you are standing here going to church, doing what? Then you begin to look like everybody's there, you are alone, you are standing here alone. You look different. And most of us don't like to be different. Most of us, we want to be compliant, we want to be part of the crowd. So Charlie, let me just go after God day. After all, God is also giving me a master's, so we want to just go with the crowd and just say that it's also a ministry, it's also a calling. I mean, God is still with me. But God said turn left. The time he told me to turn left, I didn't turn left. I got stuck in traffic. No. We are too concerned. Most of us hold on the bed and then pull your neighbor's dress. Tell him, I'm glad you came today. It's you he's talking to. You, pa, you are the one. Hold their dress and shake their dress. Say, my neighbor, you are the one. You are the crowd. The crowd is worrying you. The crowd is worrying you. You are following the crowd too much. You are doing what ordinary men are doing. Men who don't have salvation. Men who don't know God. You are doing what they are doing. You are following them. When they are going to learn, you're also going to learn. When I was in school, I used to go for all night. Sometimes my roommate was my course mate. Hey! It's not a good idea. Your roommate is your course mate from we are friends from form one up to final year university, and we are all classmates, and we have come from far. Now we are in first year. I become born again. He's not born again. Now I'm going to prayer meeting. He's learning. Who is the fool? I said, who is the fool? Yeah. And listen, at a time, you yourself, you be sure. No, you have not been there before. At a time, as you are going to prayer meeting, you wonder, should I not learn? This is my roommate writing the same paper as I am. And he's been learning since morning and it's night. And he's learning. I'm going to prayer meeting and come. When I come, I should learn small. But I said, no, let me follow God. I said, let me follow God. And I'm glad I did. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear a good amen. Yeah. Amen. Hey, why are you closing? Hallelujah. So, number one is, you must let us follow God. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't hear a good amen this morning. Let us follow God. Look, decide. I will not follow. Look, tell neighbor, me. I will not follow man again. Oh, you didn't say it well. I will not follow man. I will not. Say, I will not follow man again. I will be odd. I like. I'll be some way. Because I'm peculiar. I'm not the same. I'm not like them. I'm different. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear loud. Amen. I'm not like them. I'm not like them at all. I'm different. Hallelujah. Look, our time has reached, but it's okay. I'll give you one more. Amen. One of the signs. Okay. I'll give you one more. This one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Number two sign of being peculiar is new relationships. New relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. Amen. Listen, one of the very, very, very significant marks of a Christian is who you walk with. One of the significant, are you listening to me? Yeah, because most of us, this one to affect you, because many of you have friends already. We have friends we have known from primary school, many years, area friends, people who are in the house, even relatives. We have relationships from far. But one of the key differences of being a Christian is you are called out from where you are to a different place. You are called out. When Moses came to Pharaoh, he said, let us go. Where? Into the wilderness to worship God, to hold a feast to the Lord. Let us go. We are leaving where we are to go to a different place to hold a feast. Doing what? We are leaving where we are. But many of us, we are not leaving where we are. We are still with them. We are still with them. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. One of the, look, when I became, I was telling you, when I became born again, I had my friends in Queens Hall. We used to go there every afternoon from lectures. We just gather there and hang around till the evening, just hanging around. And I was there with them. And you know, one day, I mean, there had been a lot of talking. I'd explained my salvation to them. I was talking with them back and forth, explaining. They would laugh, ask questions. Some are serious, some are not serious. You know how it is. When they are together, they are all not serious. One by one, some are serious. Together, they are not serious at all. They are nonsense, foolish boys when they are together. Then one day, I was coming down from the hall. When I was coming down, I was just walking down the hall. Then they saw me coming. Then they all stopped and raised their hands. Hey, the Pope is coming. Hey, the Pope is coming. Then they all, look, on the Queen's Hall, that's a hallway. Then they knelt down. Oh, Pope, the Pope is coming. As I was walking to them, then I said, it's enough. Then I just turned and I went away. And then I changed my friends that day. They are still my friends. But that day I said, no, they will not change. It's enough. And I just turned that day. I just turned in the middle. Then I just went back. Then they were laughing. The Pope is going. The Pope is going. Amen. Why have you not changed your friends? Why have you maintained the same friends? And your friends, many are not correct because they are into the sins of the current world. Why have you kept your friends? You say, oh, they are my friends. I also have friends. I have classmates, very good friends in this Kumasi town here because I was in school here. I have friends here, very, very close friends, classmates, but I don't go to them much. Why? Because my friends now are here. If I'm going to count all my friends, 5 or 10, whatever it is, you will find them in Lighthouse. Why do you have your friends somewhere? You mind me again? One of my most unhappiness, I don't know what it means, is when one of my children was getting married, the best man was not in church and the maid of honor was not in church. And I ask you, why? What are you trying to say? There's nobody in church who is your friend. There's nobody in church who you can work with. Please ask your neighbor, are you wise or foolish? Who is your best friend? Please hold your neighbor by the dress and ask him, are you wise or foolish? Who is your best friend? Have you gone to find a best friend from town, a best friend from the area boys, a best friend who drinks and smokes and chases girls and has condoms in his back pocket, and that's your best friend? Your best friend is a girl who has crocodile skin back from a big man with a big pot belly, and in somebody's chop box is your handbag. Is that your best friend? Is that your best friend? Somebody who is going for other people's husbands and wives, and this is my friend. They are showing you how to talk to Charlie. You come, the guy has another friend. Hey, what are you talking about? That's another friend. When I go, I will take mine, you will take your own. What are you talking about? Who are your friends? Amen. You must change your friends. Hey, you're not minding me again. I said you must change your friends. You must change your friends. Ask your neighbor, who is your best friend? Because it is your friend who will teach you how to smoke, how to drink, how to watch pornography, how to go out into boys or girls. It is your friend who is by you. He's watching. Tell him, what are you watching? Come and see. Hey, what is this? Come and see. What are you watching? Come and see. Where again will you get pornography? Somebody must show you. Somebody will take your hand and say, press here, B-I-G, bigmama.com. Press there. And then, aha, it's coming. They will show you the sites. Because you know, how do you know where the sites are? You don't know the sites. How do you know how to do the styles? Somebody will show you. Amen. But many of us, we have become too much like the world. You are not peculiar. You are not peculiar. You are not different. You are just like your classmates. You are just like your relatives. You are just like your friends. Even relatives, you should not be like them. Because many of them are not proper. They're not born again. They're not church. Some relatives, they go to fetishes regularly. You mind me, just be there, just quietly. Yeah. Your uncles, your aunties, they have calabash or things under their beds. they disappear for 1 week every year. They've gone to a village. What is this? And this is your uncle, my best uncle. What are you talking about? It's time to put a distance. It's time to put a distance. I told somebody, I called a certain young girl. I told her, listen, don't be a fool. Look, open your eyes and see. I am your best friend. I said, look, we care for you. When I say we, the pastors here, we care for you more than your father or your mother sometimes. They say, I'm spoiling family. I'm not spoiling family. I'm being honest. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes we care for you. You'll be amazed at how a pastor can go far for you. Midnight. If you like, call your uncle at night and see whether he'll come. Call your uncle at night. Uncle, there's somebody at my door. You say, call the police. I've gone out midnight many times. I've gone in the night. One night, I went to the guy driving around town, driving, looking for his wife. She had banged the door and walked out of the house 12 midnight. You call police, you're calling me. Call police to find your wife midnight, you're calling me. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you got to choose well. And if you are really born again, you will not have friends who are some way. And you'll be some way in the eyes of your friend because you no longer walk with them. You no longer do that. Ah, they say, but why you have changed? But you have changed. You used to do, you used to watch, now you have changed. And the answer is, yes, I should change. That is the testimony that you are born again. That you are changed. Your friends should see that you are different. They should complain. These days you are some way, pa. Now you don't come, you don't, when we are eating crap, you are trying your home. This is not I'm trying my home, I'm different. I am peculiar. I'm not trying my home, I'm not proud. No. Pride is the last thing. I'm not proud. I think that the things you talk about when you are eating, size the girl, her breast, the big old hair, size 47 or 49, Charlie, and her waist there. Yeah. My hand can't go around. You know, last weekend, I went for a weekend. Hey, I took my friend, went to a hotel. The guy came. Look, I've not seen. What conversation is this? I was working in the office some years ago, many, when I was national service, and the pharmacist was there. Hey, the man, every weekend he will go somewhere. Then Monday, when he come to office, he will sit the whole office down and boss them what he has done the weekend. What he has done. Old man, he has gone to chase girls. You say, Charlie, this girl, I couldn't get erection. This one, hey, this girl. He will come with detailed stories of his badness. Then, after one or two times, I said, no, I can't sit down with this. So when the Monday they came and sat down, I said, I'm coming. I just went out to go and walk around the building. I was there, and I came again. Then the next time he came again, when the guys all came on, Charlie, this weekend, that's I'm coming. Then I went again. That was my strategy. Then one day, when they came again, and I sat down, and when they said, AI, he's going. They had seen that every time they start, I go. So when the guys came around, then AI, he's going. Yes, you must go. They must say he's going because you are different from them. But you sit down and then when they are saying the thing, you say, oh, I'm binding my head. You are binding shilling. You are listening. It's entering into you. You're not binding anything. When they are talking filthy things in weekend escapades, you are there listening. You are hearing. What is it to you? It's poisoning your heart and your soul. It's poisoning you. You are seeing a grown man who you respect otherwise telling you how he is going to chase small girls. How he gave them money. All these are sowing wicked seeds into lives. Amen. But we are different. I didn't hear an amen. But we are different. How many want to be different? No, put your hand down. I will be honest with you. It's hard. I will be honest with you. Because I've been peculiar for a long time. It's hard. is hard. I will not lie to you. Job is hard. You'll be, at times you want to be run away. I wish the ground would open because I'm so different. They're all laughing at a joke. I can't laugh. They're all standing there giving commentary. The girl is coming. Look at her waist, her hips. This one, a boy from behind or from in front. What's their style? Upside down or right side up? They are coming. Then they're all talking. And you are there. How, what kind of... You want to run away. Or you're not born again. Or you're not truly born again, that you are sad inside you. Then you are thinking, what... You must... Look... You must be different. I didn't hear an amen. There must be a difference around you. You cannot be like your mates. You cannot be like your classmates. You cannot be like your co-workers. You cannot be like them. Co-worker, worker, relatives, the three main groups around you. Area boys, working staff, family. These three main groups around you rarely... Are there many Christians in this group? Rarely. Most often, they're all just normal people with the same troubles of this world. Rarely are there Christians there. So, choose and leave that group. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me this morning? How many are willing to pay the price? Because it's not easy. You'll be alone. You'll be sitting there alone. When they are all laughing, you'll be sitting there looking at the window when they are all looking at their phone. Hey, they're all watching and they are saying things, and then you are somewhere, but you are thinking, what are they watching? Hey, whoosh, come on, hey, look at something. You must want to run away from there. Hallelujah. It's hard. Brad trying to sleep on me. It's hard. Yeah. But it's the only way to be a proper Christian. It's the only way. It is the way that is going to make you stand out and rise up and do well as a Christian. It's the way that if God is going to reward, is this one. Is this one. This morning, Psalm 40, he says, your righteousness I have hidden in my heart. Your righteousness. Go to Psalm 40. What you prayed this morning, you didn't come for the prayer meeting. It is your righteousness. This morning, I want you to decide. I'm going to pay a price. But say, it's going to cost me. Oh, yes. It's hard. It will be difficult. At times, you want to come. Yes, I want to be like them. Sometimes, but it's to cost you a salvation. It will be too expensive. But say, dekataya.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.